Here we are in Hurricane Day or Tropical Storm Day from Tampa Bay Live. This is Living the Good Life. And from Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are here. It is beginning to rain.
Yes,
Nan,
it is.
Nan
yes,
just walked into the studio with a huge umbrella.
Yes.
And that's okay. The rain is coming and we are ready for it. So for those of you that are not in our Tampa Bay area, but you've heard what the news is saying, and the RNC's actually opened their convention today, I believe, if that's correct. I've not been following the news very well, but I believe that was the case. And so, you know, there's a lot of new people in our Tampa Bay area today. And if any of you happen on this show, we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're actually a worldwide ministry. We're based in Clearwater, Florida. And we are in our sixth year on the radio now, Alice. And hard to believe, sixth year and getting ready to celebrate our 300th.
Woohoo!
Uh-huh. Gotta get this one. Our 300th show on the first Sunday of January coming up of 2013. So we're excited about that. We just love the opportunity of being able to teach the Word and talk about the Word. And we have a lot of great chat that occurs and just some great contemporary Christian music on this show. We're a two-hour show, have been for a long time. And just every week we're excited to come into the station and talk about our faith and talk about what God's doing. Alice, I don't know, in all these almost 300 shows, there's not been a Sunday that I haven't been excited to be here. And I know you're that way when you're on.
I am. I get very excited about the opportunity to just be on the show and share. And hopefully, you know, God speaks through me and help somebody else. So.
Amen. That's the goal, isn't it?
That
just
is the goal.
Speak through us, Lord. And Nan, I've got Alice and Nan from our radio team here today live in the studio. We have a radio team of 8 or 9 people, and it's kind of nice that we get a variety there because y'all don't have to be on every week with me. I am, but you don't have to be. And I love to be on every week, so it's
That's
fine.
Because you have no life.
I have no.
Whoa.
Okay.
Sister then. Alice, we need to talk.
That's
I'm playing. I'm teasing. You know that.
I know you are. I know you are. Actually, I'm starting my third job tomorrow. So I do have a life, actually, beyond this, beyond the ministry with real estate and also getting ready to do some different things here at the station. So I'm excited about that. I love the radio. Nan, talk to me about just what God's doing. Isn't that a great day that he's moving in people's lives and we're seeing answers to prayer, are we not?
Yes, we are. And is this mic too loud?
I can fix it.
Can you fix the mic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just exciting to see what God is doing in people's lives. And, you know, many of these people are, you know, we know from church. They're
right.
Our friends. They're our family.
Sure they are. Yeah.
And to share with them and be there with them during the difficult, challenging times, and them share their prayer requests and
yes.
us pray over them, and then to be there when the victories come through.
Mm.
That is just really, really, really powerful.
It really is. It's exciting to see how God is answering prayer. We keep track of all those. Pastor Jim does, my associate pastor, in a red notebook on Wednesday night, doesn't he, Alice?
He does, yes.
And, you know, we keep track of the answers to prayer. Why? Why do we do that?
So that we can be witness to what God is doing.
Yes.
You know, it's like God proving himself over and over and over again that he is who he said he was, is, and will be.
Amen. And so we specifically come to God in prayer for different needs. And we have the prayer ministry that you began here at Beacon of Hope. You're still an active part of it. It was your idea. God put it in your heart.
Yeah.
And
amazing how that happens, huh?
Well, you came to me one day and you said, we need this. And
you said, go for it.
I said, go do it. And and it's just been great how God has blessed that prayer ministry, because we pray for a lot of people around the world. And it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It is a good thing. It's really cool because we see so many different needs coming in. And if it wasn't for this prayer ministry, I don't think, I really think that people need to be able to see that there are needs out there, first mm-hmm. of all,
right.
that, you know, we wouldn't be aware of if it wasn't for the prayer ministry.
Right. We wouldn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also that, you know, people are seeing those prayers being answered, you know, and I think that's so encouraging when we get the feedback from people saying, you know, hey, you guys prayed for me and this
right.
is what happened, you know, and I found that a lot of times that it's not necessarily the way we think that the prayers are going to get answered, but you know, it's God's way, and his way is always the perfect way.
It's the perfect way,
yeah.
But it is exciting when we get those praise reports.
Yeah.
So dear ones out there, when you send us your prayer requests, which is prayers@beaconofhopeministries, it ends in IES.com. I'll give that to you again. You don't have to be a part of our ministry to use our prayer line. We want to pray for you. It's something we offer you. We want to do this. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Nan, you and I have talked about the answers to prayer. There's so many. It's exciting. It increases our faith, doesn't it?
It does. You know, a lot of times when we hear about those positive praise reports we get back, we may ourselves be going through a difficult time, because if it seems like we're always battling until Jesus comes, because
sure.
Satan's is again. So you go from one state of God answering something for yourself, and then you many times you're in something pretty soon again, you
right.
know, but God sees you through. And to get all those praise reports coming back, it increases our faith as we're dealing with and going through the things that we're going through with. They're prayer results increase our faith.
Oh, absolutely. So we encourage you, use our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you know, Alice, when you began that ministry and we started telling people and getting their email addresses to become prayers, we still need more prayers. I mean,
oh,
we
definitely.
Got a whole sheet of people who are on the prayer team from around the United States, but we want more participation, don't we?
Well, yes, because, the Bible tells us that, you know, if two or more are gathered together, that, you know, that God is there.
Yes.
And, you know, for us to be praying in agreement, the more the better.
Yes.
You know, in my book, you know, as many people that can be knocking on the door of heaven and saying, you know, God, you know, this is a need. I think that's great, you know.
Oh, it is.
So, you know, I think that all of us together can be a real powerful force, and, you know, in defeating Satan and just getting the bad stuff out of here.
Oh, absolutely. And don't you think if I were just a listener driving down the road or sitting in my home this afternoon and I had a radio show come on saying, we want to pray for you, you know what I'm saying? Please
yeah.
let us pray for you. I mean, and that's our cry today, Nan and Alice. It's we want to do this. You know, it's not a burden to us. We offer up ourselves to be those intercessors and those prayers that will go before the throne of grace and say, here, there's this need. Maybe it's in Uganda. Maybe it's in,
yeah.
with internet, it's just all kinds of people contact us.
Well,
you know,
I know that's something that I've been called to do is intercessory prayer.
Yes.
And so the more opportunities that I have to practice that,
right.
Then, you know, the easier it is for me, number one, because it's
right.
still, you know, praying's not easy for anybody,
no.
really.
It takes concentration
it takes concentration
perseverance.
And all that. So I know that, you know, for me to be given the opportunity and the privilege pray for somebody, you know, that's a great thing.
It is. It really is. And I like that attitude, because it is a privilege and it's an honor.
Right.
So listening audience, no matter where you might be in the globe, or some of you may not be listening to this that when it was recorded live, which is right now because we're live, but maybe you'll be getting this show on down the road on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We want you to become a prayer with us, and they can do that by
just send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and just, you know, in the message, just say that you want to become part of the prayer team, and we will get you added to the email list, so that when we do send out the prayer requests and the prayers, that you will get those.
So you write a prayer, one of you that get these, Pastor Jim or you or Carol, mm-hmm. that's basically, or Connie. You guys are the ones that get these requests, and one of you who gets it does
usually
what with
whoever
it?
Gets to it first.
Whoever gets to it first. What is it you do with it?
Well, we will put the actual message from whoever sent it into our email that we're sending out.
Okay.
And then after that, we will actually sit down and write out a prayer. And the reason that we do that is because we want everyone praying in agreement, praying the same thing.
Right.
So that we're all in agreement. And also, it's a lot easier for some people, because I know when I'm at work,
right.
And I get my emails on my phone.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it'll come up and, you know, I may not have time to actually sit down and concentrate and think about, okay, no, you know, how am I going to pray about this, or, you know, whatever the situation may be.
Sure.
I can just read the prayer and
yes.
agree with that
yes.
and say amen. And, you know, I have prayed along in agreement with that.
It's a done
and
deal.
So, you know, if everyone can, you know, that gets the prayer requests and the prayers can just, you know, read them and agree with them, then, you know, it's done.
It's a done
and,
deal.
And, you know, God, I really feel that God blesses the effort that we put
into
it.
Oh, amen. Amen. We agree with that. We're glad you've joined us today. Listen to this first song by Jason Gray, Remind Me Who I Am.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. All I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you. Who I am.
When my heart is hard as stone, it said, remind me of who I am. I'm the one you love. Did you write something down there?
I always write down these lyrics when they touch my heart.
Oh, and that one did, didn't it?
It did. One thing that I wrote down here is, tell me, lest I forget who I am to you. Tell me again who I am to you. And it just reminds me, as we're going through our daily lives, sometimes we forget how important we are and how loved we are by God.
Exactly.
And we often have to be reminded again and again and again that we're His beloved.
Yes.
That we are loved by Him.
Right.
There's so many times that we're worshiping Him and we're telling Him how much we love Him. And it's nice to know that that love is reciprocated.
Absolutely. And we can do so much more for God when we realize how much He loves us.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think, Nan?
Well, to do a little bit different spin on this, I just was reminded of something that happened just a few moments ago. I went down to get some water for us here. And there was this young lady in front of me in line, and she was buying a can of beer.
Okay.
And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, is she old enough? Is she really? I'm trying. And so the store clerk had the same question and said, what are you, 12? She says, oh, no. He goes, well, I'm going to need to see ID. You will see it. And she spoke so confidently. I'm like, yep, she's at least 21. And the guy came in, brought her wallet, pulled her driver's license, and she was able to. But she knew who she was.
Oh,
she
there
knew,
you go.
She knew she was old enough to purchase that alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
And so it's like I think sometimes in our lives, we need to make sure to point out to Satan who we are.
Amen.
The guy wasn't
Wait
Satan.
A minute.
The guy wasn't Satan, okay?
No,
I'm not comparing him to Satan, but of who's we are in Him.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we might get caught up in something that's happening in our lives or something that's going on around us.
Right.
That we might lose a little bit of glimpse of that, and we need to be reminded, and that song's a very good reminder of that.
That's very good.
It really is. That's good. Yeah. Which brings me to 2 Timothy 1:7. You know it does. Takes us right there. We've been studying the book of 2 Timothy, the focus of faith, and that we need to focus our faith on what God's Word says about us. And so that song is a perfect segue into this concept that God sees us so differently so often than we see ourselves. We see ourselves a lot of times as, oh, I'm just not there yet. I'm just not full of faith. I'm just struggling. Right, Alice?
I mean,
aren't there times
enough.
I'm not good enough?
I'm less than somebody else. Oh, look, they know this and that, and I don't know this and that. And,
And the devil he plays on that stuff to make us feel insecure, make us feel that we're just not making any headway in our spiritual lives. We're not getting anywhere. And the devil wants to defeat us and make us feel that way. And he tries his best to put fear on us. Why fear?
Fear will paralyze you.
It is paralyzing.
It'll keep you from moving forward. It'll keep you from... It can keep you from all kind of things, just because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm. I had a bad trauma happen to me emotionally many years ago. I mean, 35 years ago. I don't know. I know it's hard for you to believe since you don't think
you're
I'm
only
much.
44.
Well, whatever. That might be a lie. But anyway, this trauma was a real long time ago. And I was having to face something that I didn't want to face and had to do with the divorce. And I was so petrified. That's where that paralysis comes in.
Right.
I was so concerned about having to do this, go to court and do this, and go through all that the night before I had to go do this thing, my back locked up on me so bad that I could not get out of bed. I had to call some friends to come help me get out of bed. I couldn't. I was paralyzed. I was emotionally, the trauma of it had locked up my physical body. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I've not in that kind of situation, but I have had that happen.
Yeah.
I had to crawl across the floor to get to the couch to say, I can't come into work today.
Right.
So things can happen and trigger that. Absolutely.
And the devil uses fear to paralyze us. I really believe that. Don't you, Alice?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, I know that there have been times where I've gone through fear and anxiety and all that sort of thing where I couldn't, function.
Right.
I couldn't do what I would be able to do without that fear.
Right. You just couldn't. And right. you certainly couldn't focus on your faith,
right.
which is what we're talking about here in the book of 2 Timothy. You can't focus on your faith when you're paralyzed by fear. So the first point we're going to make again today, we made it last week and the week before, and if maybe you just you're checking us out today for the first time, that's okay. Or maybe you heard this. That's not going to hurt you to hear it again. Write it down on your piece of paper if you have a paper. And it's 2 Timothy 1:7. It's one of those verses that needs to be a part of you. Put it on an index card. Put it on the dashboard of your car, or put it on your visor, or put it on your mirror at home as you're getting ready and brushing your teeth. And it is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And in an NIV, it says power, love, and self-discipline. What does your Bible say?
The ESV, the English Standard Version. And mine says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Self-control. Okay. So self-control, self-discipline, mm-hmm. sound mind, all those are the same. And that we know, dear audience, that the battle is in our minds. The battlefield is always your mind. The devil tries to defeat you in your mind. And that's what happened to me that many years ago. I was so paralyzed by what could happen. By the way, it all turned out great and nothing bad happened. But I was playing the tape of the what could happen. You know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I was listening. The Lord kind of led me to listen to some of the things I've been taping on with my DVR. And I listened to either Wednesday night or Thursday night, somewhere on Thursday or Friday, about Joyce Myers. I had taped some stuff from Joyce Myers.
She's great.
She's fantastic. And it was on the battlefield of the mind.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
that's a great series.
I ate my dinner while watching it,
uh-huh.
so I didn't take notes. I want to go back and re-listen to it again and take notes, because she was just giving some astounding scriptures
yes.
that went along with it, some great statements that went along with it. And the battlefield is the mind, you know?
Yes.
That's if Satan can come against you that way and take over.
Right.
You know.
Well, you have a thought, I'm going to walk across the room, you know, but unless that thought is triggered into
right.
your body, you know, it comes from your mind, I'm going to walk across the room, you know what I'm saying? And so the mind is essential to everything we do.
It
you
is.
Agree, don't you? You agree.
Yeah, the mind is essential to everything we do. I mean, we have to, everything... Our mind controls everything about
yeah,
us.
Exactly.
Whether it's a reflex, you know, like our heart beating and us
right.
breathing and stuff like that.
Sure.
But not only that, but like you said, if we make a decision to do something, our mind is what makes that decision and
right.
controls our body so that we can do that.
Right.
It keeps coming back to me this piece about self-control.
Go ahead. Go with it.
So many times I've, you know, run into people and they say, oh, you know, this and this is going on with my life and I don't know how to fix it, or I don't know how to get out of the situation, whatever it is. And a lot of times I found it's not so much the situation so much, but it's the how somebody gets allows themselves to be put into a situation.
Right.
You know, and I've, you know, many times have counseled people, you know, well, you need to, these are the steps you need to take. You need to, you know, pull yourself out of that situation or whatever.
Absolutely.
And they're like, well, I can't.
Right.
It's like, yes, you can. You just do it. You make up your mind to do it.
But,
and that's self-control.
But it's fear that comes
right.
on, you know,
right.
because people that are, and, you know, in our counseling ministry, we've seen this a lot. People that are the victims of an abuser.
Right.
Okay. It is hard to, you can tell yourself all day, that person's not going to hurt me. But let's say you have a history and that person has hurt you.
Right.
And has put their hands on you and has shoved you up against a wall or has tried to strangle you or whatever. And we've heard these things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got that history, your mind is naturally playing back what could happen.
Right.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found myself in situations where I've been paralyzed by fear because I picture what could happen.
Exactly.
And you can't allow yourself to go with that.
Right.
I found that you have to look at it You have to look at it differently. It's not what could happen that you need to worry about. It's right now.
Right.
What do I need to do in this situation right now for myself to make sure that I'm safe or to make sure that those people that are dependent on me are safe?
Right.
And that's what you need to act on. You know, let God worry about what might happen.
Right.
You know, he's already got that taken care of and under control. You need to worry about right now what decisions you can make right now to fix the situation now.
And a big part of it is taking control over your mind and realizing that God has not given you that fear.
Right.
So you want to get rid of the things that God has not given you. God has not given you fear.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get rid of that. Instead, he's given you power and love and a sound mind or self-control, you know? And so you have the ability to stop that negative thinking. I don't know who this is for today, and I don't know what state you're in today. I mean, this our show is in the Little Rock area, too, in Little Rock, and it goes through like 7 or 8 states right there live also. So whether you're in Florida or whether you're up in that area of the country hearing us live or on the web, whoever this is for, God has not given you that fear, so resist it in the name of Jesus. Stand against it. Don't buy it. Don't buy the lie of the devil, and don't go down that path.
Yeah, there's so many times that I personally have felt, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Right.
And then I'm reminded of the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. You know, and so that has been, you know, it's one of those verses that I just...
That was my mother's life verse. Philippians 4:13. We've talked about that.
That's one of those verses that I pull out of my brain every once in a while when I get that. When, you know, when Satan tries to attack me in that way and tell me I'm not good enough to do this, I can't do this, or whatever it is, I have to remind myself I can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
Praise God.
And it's not so much me, it's Christ.
It's Christ.
God is doing it.
Yeah. It's his strength, it's his power. It's not us. We don't have that ability. Ooh, amen. So let's go down at verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're hitting some highlighted verses here that I just love. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Whoa. Let me see what it says in the Message Bible. I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right to the end. So, so often we don't want to give God these issues in our lives, Nan, because we almost like to hang on to the hurts, the suffering, the things that we feel sorry for ourselves about. The self-pity. I think self-pity is a huge problem in a lot of people's lives. We feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, I can't believe this happened to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think for some people...
Sorry for my whining.
It's okay. We love you anyway, Pastor.
Okay, thank you.
I think for some people, because they have come so accustomed to, this is my life.
Right.
And this is what they know.
Right.
In a weird sense of the word, it's security for them. And that they don't have to...
Oh, that's good.
That they don't have to move forward and away from that, because it's scary sometimes letting go of what you have, moving somewhere else. Even though it's a bad what you have, it's become part of you. It's you. It's your life. Am I making any sense?
You're making total sense.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's like a revelation to me that you're saying this right now, because there is safety in what we know already.
Exactly.
So if I know that I am... abused and beaten and downtrodden and poor and sick and always sicker and sicker and sicker. If I know that these two are thinking
we
I'm losing
you.
It. Yeah,
yeah, it's okay. We love you, Pastor. Where's the white coats? We love her.
Where's the white coats? All right. Okay, Alice, explain me. Will you explain what I just said?
Do I have to, I don't have to whine, do
no,
I?
No, you don't have to whine.
Please see if you can whine better than her. Please whine. Whine. Please whine.
No, I mean, I think people, and I've been guilty of this myself, so I can't just say people, because it's like everybody does this. You know, you get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
You get used to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you become, you begin to believe that it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't everybody feel this way?
Yeah.
Isn't everybody abused? Isn't everybody downtrodden? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And it takes almost like a revelation, an aha moment,
yes,
or whatever, for you to step back and go, oh, wait a minute. This isn't normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't the way things should be. And you know, sometimes it takes a big shakeup in your life for that to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think that God wants everyone to know what the norm is, which is that you're loved, you're appreciated,
mm-hmm.
and that that God can give you that peace that
Amen.
You need. There's a, you know, fear so much. There's that fear of the unknown.
Oh, fear of the unknown.
When you're in this situation and you think this is normal, getting to the place where you're out of the situation is unknown to you because
mm-hmm.
you don't know what it's like
That's
to
right.
not be abused, not to be downtrodden, not to feel like you're less than.
Right.
And so it's scary.
Yeah.
Because you don't know it. You don't understand it. You may never have been in that situation.
Right.
Or you've been there once before and you've forgotten what it's like.
I totally agree with you because we know that peace is the opposite of chaos. Okay, and some people get so used to chaos and drama. I mean, they thrive on drama. I mean, look what TV is these days. I prefer to think of TV as a sporting event and watch sports.
We've watched you do that.
Even in restaurants.
Even at lunch today.
Even lunch today.
I can watch a game and talk.
I know, you did
yes,
well. Thank you.
I thank you.
You do that better than I do.
Yeah, I can do that.
Life, I mean, yes, my TV is a sporting event. But anyway, what is TV for most people, a lot of people these days, is reality TV, and they trump up these situations mm-hmm. and try to get it more dramatic and mm-hmm. somebody more mad than the other person, and rah, 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 rah. And it just is, that's what our culture is feeding on. It's feeding on that drama.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And chaos
right.
and craziness. And Jesus said, I came to give you peace and to give it.
Well, I mean, it's even, you know, simple things like Isaac, the storm that's out there,
yeah.
right? I have, you know, I grew up in the Houston area.
Sure.
We're used to the hurricanes.
Right.
I have learned not to watch local news.
Right.
I have learned not to watch the Weather Channel when
right.
if I want to know what's going on the storm, on with the storm. I go to the website and I go to the national,
yeah.
the NOAA site,
right.
and I look at the maps myself.
Right.
And I can look at the probabilities myself.
Right.
You know, and I can see, yeah, okay, it may come towards us, but, you know, we need
right.
And make the decision for myself. I don't get all the hype.
Right.
You know, and there's not all that drama involved.
Get out and get your candles.
Yeah, and your batteries and water and whatever.
I mean, we do need to be prepared.
We need
sure,
to be prepared,
but,
yes. And
but
I'm
it
not
can,
and I'm not, you know, playing this down because you
no,
know these storms can be
serious.
Can be very dangerous
yeah,
things.
Sure.
But don't you can't you've got to make you've got to make decisions for yourself. And I think that's what I'm trying to get across. You don't have to be caught up in all the drama
yes.
of it. You know, when you're not caught up in the drama, then it's easier for you to make sound decisions.
Totally.
You said something. It's great. You're great, Alice.
Boy, you two really you interact good here.
We'll
have to have you on more often together. You just really.
You were talking about being prepared.
Yes.
And to take that to the spiritual. Okay, like we sitting at this table know what we need to do to be prepared. Like you say, we don't have to be given a checklist of everything, which those checklists are good, but we don't have to be given that because we've been through this. We know.
Many times.
There's going to be many people in the Bay Area who've not ever been through
right.
something like this, and they're not going to know all those things.
Right.
But just as being prepared for the storm coming in, so we also know what we need to do to be prepared when Satan is coming against us.
That's right.
And he would try to have that fear stop us when we know what we need to do. Pull out the Bible, pray, read, call someone to pray with you, something.
Use the prayer line,
use
a beacon of hope, you know, whatever.
We'll pray for you.
You know,
right.
Pastor, one thing that you have always taught us and taught, you know, your congregation is to have an arsenal.
Absolutely.
Of verses.
Yes.
And to write those down. And one thing that I think is really good, if you are habitually under attack through fear, you know, when you have some quiet time, when you have some peace in your life, sit down with your Bible and start writing out some scriptures
right.
That really talk about fear and about the peace of God.
Amen.
And, you know, that God is your peace, and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, this verse in 2 Timothy that, you know, talks about, you know, having sound mind and all that, and that we don't have a spirit of fear. Write these verses down.
Right.
And when you start feeling anxious,
yes,
when you start feeling panic attacks coming on,
right,
when you start feeling that fear of the unknown,
right,
pull that out and start reading them.
Amen.
And, you know, it's... To me, it's a lot easier just to have it written down.
Yeah.
You can open it rather than having to flip through your Bible and finding them all again because
exactly,
you forgot where they are. If you don't want to write them out, if for some reason it's hard for you to write or whatever, get the little sticky notes, the little flag, and flag in your Bible where those are.
Right.
And highlight them so that you can turn to them quickly and easily and find them and use them as your arsenal against Satan for attacking your mind.
Absolutely.
You know, you have taught us, Pastor, to... make the word personal.
Amen.
If it's a prayer type thing, make it really personal. And I can remember specifically a time about 9 or 10 months ago that I felt a Lord woman go to the causeway. So I go to the causeway and I sat there with my Bible and he started leading me to scripture. So what I did, as Alice was just saying, writing them down, I wrote down the scripture. Then I wrote it down personalized.
Yes.
And I had it both ways.
Right.
And I actually referenced them at a later time when Satan was trying to give me a hass about something. I said, wait, I remember that trip to the causeway. Pulled out those cards because I had them in my calendar and started pointing out, claiming the word. Claiming
Amen.
The word.
Mm-hmm. So you would take 2 Timothy 1:7 and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear.
Absolutely.
But I have power
and
love
and
a sound mind. And 2 Timothy 1:12, God has said to me in his word, where is it here, that I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I believe in Jesus. I'm a believer. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him right. against that day.
When
so
you,
I hang on
you,
to that.
When you taught us that, it like, I mean, I've been in church almost all my life, you know, but it brought the scripture more real to me than I had ever realized it before.
It brings it alive.
When you taught that to us.
To personalize it?
The personalizing it, yes.
It got me through. That has turned my life around. In the book of Psalms. Remember when we did the study on Wednesday
awesome.
Night?
Lately? Yeah, I really like that.
A few months back on the book of Psalms. What did we do? We did that very
we
thing.
We did that. We started it at Psalm 1.
Went through the whole thing.
And we went through the entire, not all in one night. Okay,
no.
We spread it out over some different Wednesday nights. But we went through every single chapter and verse of Psalms, and we went through and personalized it and highlighted those that spoke to us individually and as a group.
Right.
And you know, it was really awesome because I don't think I've read Psalm all the way through before
right.
like that before. So it was nice because I know now that I have read, number one, I've read the entire book of Psalms. Number two, I know in my Bible
all 150 chapters.
Yeah.
I know in my Bible that those that have meaning to me and really stood out to me and were revelation to me mm-hmm. are highlighted there, and I know I can go back to it anytime, and
mm-hmm.
I have. You know, I can go back to it anytime,
Good.
And
me
I
too.
Can look at those scriptures and I can personalize them and they can remain alive for me.
Amen. And that's what happens. So in 2 Timothy 1:12, we know that God guards what we give to him, no matter what it is that we say, here, this happened. I can't deal with this. I give it to you. And we should not be ashamed because he is able to guard that which we have entrusted to him. So if it's an abuse situation, if it's something that happened to you in childhood, if it's a painful marriage, if it's things that have happened to you that have just not been right, maybe you've been mistreated by your family and your friends or your parents or whatever, or a spouse or whatever, when you give that to God, he guards that thing. He takes it and removes the pain of it.
Right.
It's not that you don't remember situations, because there have been a lot of, tons of painful times in my life. But when we actually forgive, and forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done, but we just mean, it means that we let go of it and we don't carry it around anymore. We give it to God. We commit it to him, put it there. I used the analogy this morning about the safe deposit box. I thought that was good. It just came to me
that
on the
good.
Spot.
Yeah.
You want to explain that?
That when many people who ever have a safe deposit box, they can go to the bank, which is where they usually are, and put in prized things, their wills, special jewelry, special whatever, you know, that they, and you can leave and go away knowing that it's still going to be there, that you can be gone a day or you can be gone a year, you're going to go back and you're still going to find your stuff there.
So you just let it go. You just don't worry about it anymore. You don't sit around. You don't wake up in the middle of the night going, I wonder if the bank still has my stuff in my box. You don't do that because you trust.
You trust the system.
And Paul is saying this to Timothy. He says, give it to God and he will guard it. He will take care of it, whatever it is. So, and in my own life, and I do live this on a daily basis, when I find myself stressing over something, how I'm going to pay a bill, how this is going to work out, how that's going to work out, I am learning. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I'm not. But I am learning to give it to God and say, here, okay, here, I'm entrusting this to you. I'm going to leave it here at the bank. I'm going to walk away and not worry about it. And I just put it in your hands, okay? I trust you to handle it. And that's what Paul says here. I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him unto that day. Woo. I don't know about you, but that just makes me happy. That means I don't have to carry it, Alice. I don't have to walk around going, what are all the things I'm worrying about today? Wait a minute. Oh, shoot, I can't remember everything I'm worrying about.
Sometimes we don't want to trust those things to God because we're afraid of how he will handle that.
Fear.
You want to hold on to. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Alice.
No, you mentioned afraid, fear.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
amazing. You don't necessarily know how he's going to handle it, what he's going to do with it, and you're not necessarily going to like what he's going to do with it. You better keep it to yourself and keep worrying about it.
We're afraid he might not handle it in the way we want it handled, so therefore we don't want to give it to him because what if he messes it up?
But, you know, Pastor, you were talking about forgiveness, and I have found that sometimes that's really difficult because...
It is difficult, Alice.
Because we don't want to give it to God because he may not handle it the way we want.
Absolutely.
You know, we may want God to go and beat somebody up for us.
Absolutely.
And God probably won't handle it that way.
Mm.
And we still feel that that person should be whatever, you
right.
know? And I, you know, you have talked about forgiveness before, and something, the way that you explained it was that forgiveness is not just giving it to God, but whoever you're forgiving, that person doesn't owe you anymore.
That's a huge part of forgiveness.
And when the first time that I heard you say that, it was a big aha moment for me.
Okay.
Because I was like, yeah, that's what true forgiveness is. True forgiveness is that debt is gone.
The debt is gone.
And I never looked at it as a debt before because, you know, I have, you know, there have been people in my life that I've found it difficult to forget, that
sure.
I've held on to resentment. And I knew it was resentment and that I was, you know, bitter towards that person or whatever, but I didn't look at it as a debt that I was feeling that they somehow owed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until you said that I realized that, yeah, you know, they may have done this, this, and this, and I still feel that I'm owed an apology or I'm owed, some payment of some kind, whatever it
right.
is, you know,
yeah.
that somehow this person still owes me because they treated me poorly
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, I once I understood what you were saying, I was like, okay, so I have to get to a point where that person doesn't owe me anymore.
Right.
And once I realized that, it was a lot easier for me to say, okay, God, you know, you've already paid all the debts.
Right.
You know, everything is already paid, so therefore I'm giving this to you to take care of it.
Yes.
You know, and then it lifts so much from your it lifts so much from you when you're able to hand that over to God and
Ooh.
Truly forgive someone
Amen.
And realize that they don't owe you
mm-hmm.
anymore. And then you're freed from that.
Amen. Wow. That's right on. Listen to this song by Mike's Chair. Hallelujah.
Change, you bring my soul to life.
Good song. Praise God. We are talking today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries about the book of 2 Timothy. We're in a series called The Focus of Faith. We are ready for 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. We're only picking out some the highlighted verses in the first three chapters of 2 Timothy today. We're on 2 Timothy 2, 3, and it says this, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs because he wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not reach the victor's crown unless he competes according or receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Okay, then. Endure hardship as a good soldier. Hardship? Alice, nobody wants to talk about hardship, right? What is hardship?
Not really. hardship, wow, it can be anything. It can be, you know, sharing the gospel with someone and them, you know, persecuting you for it, or
right.
You know, making fun of you,
right.
You know, or making your life difficult because
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Hardship, if, you know, when you follow Jesus, life isn't a bed of roses.
No, it's not,
you know,
really.
And that's okay in my book because
right.
I learn from those hard experiences.
Right.
I may not like it when I'm going through it, but I know I'm learning something.
You're learning something.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here on this earth for such a short time, you know, just having lost my mother 3 weeks ago. It's like so impressed upon me lately how quickly life goes by.
Right.
You know, when we did the video of her life and see her as a little tiny girl and then, you know, growing up and getting married, and that video, and it shows through life, you know, as I was in a video in 5 minutes, or that was a 10-minute video, but you can see somebody from a child all the way up, and the pictures and how things change and how their life changes. And we realize we're just here for such a short time. And are we just marking time? Are we just passing time? Okay, another birthday, another birthday, another birthday. Or are we doing something on this earth right now that's going to impact people and change their lives? Are we loving people the way Jesus loved them? Or are we just, we're just here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And it's important to me that when I leave this earth that I have touched somebody.
Yes.
You know, that
yes.
I've left my mark somehow.
Right.
And I may not know now what my efforts are doing,
right.
Whose lives are being touched, or anything like that. But I know that there's going to come a time when I'm going to be, you know, standing before the Lord, and he's going to let me know. He's going to let me know whose lives have been affected, and maybe, you know, well, I know he's going to let me know, you know, this time I told you to do this and you didn't do it. This person's life could have been affected by you, and you could
right.
have helped in this situation,
right.
but instead I sent somebody else, you know.
Right.
So I want to be I want to have more of the good things, you know.
Right.
I want God to pat me on the shoulder and
oh.
say, "Good job," you know.
Well done, my good yeah. and faithful servant.
Yeah, and I'm not perfect, but that's my goal. Is that I can stand before God
amen.
One day and see that.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we must endure hardship. One day we're going to come before the judgment seat, and we're going to have our life played on the big screen. I mean, we're not talking about the 55-inch or the 60-inch or the 85-inch or the 180-inch TV. I mean, our lives are going to be played out for us to see. I don't know if it's going to be for other people to see, but we are going to see missed opportunities and things. We're going to see the rewards and where our rewards are coming from, what
right.
we did do for God's kingdom.
Well, one of the things Connie has taught me is that we have our jobs to support us so that we can go out and live what our real life is.
Exactly.
And our real life is
yes.
God. Our real life is ministry to
yes.
people and
yes.
God allowing, you know, us allowing God to use us.
God,
you know
using
what I mean.
Us.
Yes, God, I can
right.
do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
But I've picked that up, and I've even made some statements to people, Christians at work. It's, you know, I said, I have this job, pay my bills. This is not
right.
my real life.
Right.
I'll work hard, and I'll stay there the whole time. I'll work extra if necessary. But when I'm gone, I'm gone. I'm off that clock. Then I go about the rest of my life.
Right.
Which, and that's the most important part of my
and
life.
And even during our daily jobs, whatever those may be, God opens so many opportunities, doesn't he?
He does. There's often times you'll run into people that God will have you minister to, and you have no idea why this is happening. You know, one thing that stands out when I talk about this, one thing that stands out is I remember pulling into a gas station one time, and there was a gentleman there in an old, beat up, like minivan type thing, and you know, he wasn't very clean cut, and you know, he looked like he'd been on the road for a while, and I pulled up in the pump that was like opposite him, next to him, and I was putting gas in my car, and he came up and he asked me, he says, can I have just a couple of dollars so I can put some gas in my car? And for some reason, and I really didn't understand it at the time, and I really don't fully understand it, but God immediately laid on my heart, fill up his gas tank.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, excuse me, God, you know, have you seen my checkbook lately? There's not a lot of money in there. And, I don't know this guy and whatever. And I probably freaked him out a little bit because I said, if you give me a minute to let me finish up here, I'll come around there and we'll get your tank filled up.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, no, I just need a couple of dollars, you know. And I finished filling up my tank, and I went around and I put my debit card in there, and I filled up his gas tank. And he was very thankful, very, very thankful. And he was saying, well, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I don't know his situation, but he opened up the side of his minivan. And I'll have to admit, when he started opening that door, I'm thinking, okay, please don't, abduct me. I don't know,
Right. Yeah.
But he had a stack of Bibles in there.
Oh, wow.
And he was a minister. He would minister to the homeless, and he would hand out these Bibles. He would get these Bibles.
Never heard this story, Alice.
He would get these Bibles wherever he could find them, whether it was a thrift store or somebody would give them to him or whatever.
Wow.
And he spent his time basically on the road handing out these Bibles to people.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that is too cool.
And so I didn't know him. I didn't, in my own person, in my own self, the human that I am, I probably wouldn't have talked to him, but he talked to me first, so I kind of felt obligated,
sure.
to say something.
Right.
But
that is so neat.
For God to lay that on my heart and just have that opportunity there, I'm sure that my giving him, filling up his tank for him blessed him.
Right.
And I don't know, based on that, how many more people will bless because of
exactly.
that.
You'll be sharing in that reward in heaven someday because of how you affected that ministry.
And he asked for, my name and address because he wanted to send me money to pay me back when he could and all this. And I told him, don't worry about it. When you run across somebody that needs it, help them.
Pay them forward.
Right.
Oh, that is too cool. So we endure hardship like a good soldier because there are times that God asks us to give sacrificially. There are times, and believe me, I've had many of those in my life, when I'm down to just like the end, and God says, take that last $5 or take that and give that to somebody. Ay, ay, ay. And every time, though, that I've obeyed, I am blessed because of that. So if God is doing that with you today, any of you out there in some given situation, obey God. What would you start to say as far as enduring hardship like a good soldier?
Well, Alice says something about having the opportunity. And I think there's a lot of times we miss opportunities of blessings. We don't do it to get the blessing. That's not the deal. The deal is to be obedient.
Right.
The blessing is just gravy on top.
It's gravy. Yeah,
the Lord.
Gravy.
But
yeah.
We do have to endure as soldiers many times.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
it can get really hard.
It can be.
It can get really hard sometimes.
But God asks us to be obedient. 2 Timothy 2:15 then. Let's look at that verse. And it says here, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I've known people that have religious spirits. Okay.
Yes.
And a religious spirit sounds okay right at the very beginning. Okay. And then you begin to realize, wait a minute, this is not bringing me peace. It's not bringing me comfort. I don't feel closer to God listening to this. I am being beaten down, or I'm being condemned. And Paul says to Timothy, we've got to learn to be a workman of God that handles correctly the word of truth. We got to be careful that we don't take our Bibles and beat people over the head with our religiosity. Boy, I could preach on that for a while.
Some people take the word and take things out of context.
Oh, absolutely.
And they use that and they pound and they browbeat people.
Absolutely.
With something that's not even godly,
right.
Although they're taking God's word, that's godly.
Yes,
but they're misusing its use, and they're making it say something that it doesn't really say.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's one reason it's very important for you to read the word yourself.
Amen.
It's very
sister.
Important for you to read.
Wait
it.
Wait a minute. There you go.
That's a good
only,
point.
Not only read the word and read a specific scripture, but read around it so you get the context.
That's
and
right.
You get an idea of what God is talking about when he's
Amen.
Giving this word. It's really important to read the Bible on your own and not necessarily rely on the preacher that you're listening to or whatever. And there are many times that I've found that scripture is quoted out of context.
Oh, yes.
And yes. When you go back and you read it yourself and you're like, wait a minute, that's not even close to what they were talking about.
Right.
You know, and so it's very important to read it on your own.
Well, so many people use the Bible as their tool to browbeat people.
Right.
You know, and make their point. And really, the bottom of all of that usually is that they feel better about themselves when they can beat up on somebody else and point out that, oh, well, you're wrong in this area, and God's word says, you know, God's word says we are to walk in love. That's
right.
What God's word says. And we're not to use the word of truth, which is the Bible, as our club
right.
to beat people up. And, I mean, it happens in the gay community all the time.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are beat up by scriptures that don't even say what they say they say. And when I get into conversations with this with some people, I realize that they're just like a little rote machine. They're just passing back out a verse that somebody told them, and they don't even understand what that verse really is talking about.
Right. It's like a robot. You know, it's
yeah.
like any computer. And, you know, we've used this analogy before, garbage in, garbage out.
Amen.
You know, if you program the computer with garbage, it's going to spit garbage out.
Exactly.
You know, the results, you know, whatever your computation or whatever you're trying to do, the results are not going to be accurate because there was garbage that went in, so garbage comes out.
Right.
And it's the same thing with, you know, when you're dealing with preaching and stuff like that, if what's being preached is not accurate and is not the true, you know, what not the word of God and not in the right context, and people are getting this into their brain,
right.
and they don't take the time to research it and read on their own, they're going to spit that same garbage back out.
Absolutely. As somebody said this to me the other day, said religion so often gets off base because they have to have somebody to hate. And that, if you look at some of the stuff that's preached, it is all about hate.
Yeah.
And God said, God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. That's his nature. All the way through the scriptures, not just the New Testament, but all the way back to the Old Testament, God is showing his love to us. He's full of mercy and kindness. He's full of loving kindness. He's full of all that. And God sees the potential that's in you, dear listener, and there is tremendous potential in you to become all that God wants you to be and not give in to the lies of the devil and the clobbering that people, religious people, do.
You're encouraging people to do what they need to do where they are for the Lord, and we were talking about fear earlier, and one thing that came to me is sometimes we're fearful to step out and do what God has called us to do because we're afraid what people think. I mean, the first time I ever gave a word in our service, I mean, I was like, what will people think? What, mm-hmm. you know, what it is, well, first of all, it really doesn't matter what they think, but they didn't think anything at all anyway bad, but it's just that fear gripped me.
Sure.
You know, and people may be led that they're supposed to be doing certain things in their churches, and they're fearful of what other people will think about them. Well, don't fear that. Move
don't
forward
fear that.
With the Lord's strength, and He will guide
because
and He will direct.
God sees the real you.
Exactly.
Wow. We're having a great discussion here with Alice and Nan on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Listen to Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
And welcome all those Little Rock stations around there, all that area. Welcome. We are so glad that you hear our show live on Sundays. It's great. And so we want to acquaint you with the ministry of Beacon of Hope. And the best way to learn about us is to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We're in our 11th year, almost ready to have our 11th anniversary in October. That's exciting. We're a ministry that is open and affirming to all people, regardless of anything, regardless if you're striped, if you're green, if you're an alien, if you are whatever, you are welcome at Beacon of Hope, right,
yeah,
Alice?
It's wonderful because, I think it's one of the greatest things is when we have people that come into our church and are, you can tell they're pretty downtrodden. You
right.
know, they've
sure.
lived a rough life already.
Right.
And they're going through hard times. And it's so, I just get a kick out of it because you just watch the congregation and everybody's just loving on them.
Right.
And,
feeding them a peanut butter sandwich
out
of the refrigerator.
Whatever, you know. And, right. That's one of the things that I really love about Beacon of Hope is that it's a big family and we
yeah.
welcome everybody into the family.
Absolutely. Yes. And if you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us for service Sunday mornings at 10. And we have great praise and worship and teaching of the word and ministry to your needs and just a wonderful, a lot of times lunch after somewhere, sometimes right there in the building and a lot of times at a restaurant, fellowship time. Have parties. We go places. We went to the Rays game yesterday.
Oh, that was so
much fun.
Did
we have fun? We just had a great time at the Rays game yesterday. They lost, but that's okay. We had fun. And then, you know,
we got a free pizza.
We did. Yep. 10 strikeouts. So we got free pizza. Take your coupon to Kane's Furniture. And so, yes, we had
a great. Did you pay for that advertisement?
Yeah, I know. It was fun. It was really great. So we're family. I like what you said, Alice. On Wednesday night, we set up tables. Tell us about that, Alice.
Wednesday nights are great because we can we set up the tables and we have a prayer meeting at 6:15 and then Bible study immediately following at 7 o'clock. And I come straight for work.
Yeah.
So I am one of those people that will stop off at one of the local places and bring my dinner in with
sure.
me.
Sure. That's why we set up the tables.
Yeah. So I'm able to sit there and eat my dinner and participate in the prayer meeting and the Bible study. And I love the way that you do Bible study, Pastor, because it's not just you standing up there teaching.
Right.
Which is great because I love the way that you teach, but it's interactive.
It is interactive.
If we have a question, if we have a comment, if we don't get it, we can say, hey, Pastor, I don't get it. Can you go over it again? And you
sure.
will. You know, and it's great because it gives us the opportunity to not only learn God's word, and this is a real time to learn it because we can ask those questions.
Right.
But it's also a time to get to know each other.
Right.
Because people's personalities come out.
Joking around.
And it's great. It's really very much like sitting around a large family.
It is.
Dinner. And we happen to have a Bible study in there, too.
Right. It's great. It's fun. It's relaxed and,
yeah, it's
and sometimes
relaxed.
People bring cake and cookies and stuff.
Brownies
yes. and stuff. You never know what's happening. That's Wednesday nights, every Wednesday at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find. Listen to this great song. I didn't know when I put it on this show today that it happens to be Alice's, one of her very favorites.
One of my very favorites.
By our good friend Ray Boltz, who was on the show with me live about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe?
Four.
Okay. And you can go to our website and catch that show that Ray Boltz was on with me live. This is a song he wrote. He is singing Shepherd Boy.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a key would soon be found. Each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others a shepherd boy, God may see a king, even though your life seems filled with ordinary things. In just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, and dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd,
I love that song.
Wow.
It just reminds you that God sees us so differently than we see ourselves so often.
This song has always been so encouraging to
has
me.
It? Yeah.
Because, sorry.
That's all right. You can cry those tears. You go for it.
I know that for me personally, I had a very difficult time in my youth and childhood. And was always made to feel that I was less than.
Yes, yes.
That I wasn't good enough.
Right.
That I would never amount to anything.
Right.
And
it was drilled into you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to know that I am where I am now.
Yes.
And that I am loved by God.
Yes.
And that I am making a difference because God has told me I am making a difference.
Amen.
I wish now I could go back to that little girl and say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Because you are not who other people see you to be.
Right.
God has so much for you.
Who would have thought? Here you are ministering on the radio. You sing lead in our praise band, and you've done so much for God through the years. And you know, it's amazing what God does in us, And so often the devil tries to tell us we're never. But, you know, I've found through the years, Alice, that when the devil is trying to hammer something strong like that, you're never going to amount to anything, you're just a piece of, you know, dirt or whatever, it's the opposite of the truth, because right. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And John 8:44, Jesus said, Satan is a liar and the father of lies.
Right.
And so when that kind of atrocity, I've been saying that word a lot lately, when that kind of atrocity has been perpetrated, and I'm going to say another big word, against us, know that that's not from God.
Right.
God sees what we will be and what we can be. And we others may see a shepherd boy, but God sees a king.
Right.
Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. That'll preach, Nan. That'll preach.
That'll preach, Pastor.
Yeah, that'll preach. Woo! So look at 2 Timothy, and now let's look at 2:24. Yes, 2:24. God's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. I think that is a key verse in the whole book of 2 Timothy.
I would like to read it in the ESV and also pick up
verse
25 as well.
Go right ahead.
It says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness.
Yes.
That's the key. It's all about love.
Yes.
It's, you know, there may be a situation where, you know, you have to correct someone, and you have different ways that you can do it.
Right.
You can be angry with that person, and you can, you know, let yourself be filled with anger and hate and all that.
Absolutely.
And correct out of that.
Right.
Or you can let yourself be filled with love.
Yeah.
And correct out of that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's different ways that situations can be handled. And we as Christians have to remember that we have been instructed to love one another.
Amen.
And to treat our neighbor as ourselves.
Yes.
So we always have to keep in mind that if there's a situation where somebody needs to be corrected, or if there's a situation where we're having to endure bad things, then we need to be filled with love so that we can treat other people the way we would want to be treated in that similar situation.
Oh, amen. Because it's so easy to fall into judgment, condemnation, you know, making people feel less than, and all those things we've been talking about today on the show. Nan, did you have a comment on any of that?
Oh, I was actually going to ask Alice, what version was that you read?
This English Standard Version.
English Standard. Yes.
Okay, so let's listen to it in the Message, because you know how I love the Message Bible. Let's start with verse 22. Run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved in inane discussions. There's another big word, inane. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative. And the verse we just read in this translation, NIV, says quarrelsome.
Right.
Quarrelsome, argumentative. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up. This sentence right here is wild. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. I love that.
Yeah.
Because we never know what God is doing in people's lives. And when we approach them in a meanness instead of from a point of truth of God's word, correcting with the word instead of screaming and yelling, not that any of us have not ever done that. We have. But I mean, seriously, people do, you know, when they're upset about a situation. Mm-hmm. But this is our admonition. Let's learn to not be quarrelsome. Let's learn to not be argumentative. Let's learn to be gentle and listen and believe and stand on the fact that God can turn somebody's heart around to the truth at any given moment.
One thing we have to realize as Christians is that we may be the only glimpse of Christ that a person may see.
That's right.
Do we want them to feel that Christ is argumentative, that he's angry, that he, you know, whatever? No, because that's not Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is all about love.
Right.
And that's what we need to be all about so that we can reflect Jesus to, you know, whoever may be watching. And it may not
be. It is all about love. Yes.
It may not be that particular person that we're dealing with, but who's watching that situation?
Ooh.
Who is watching that situation from the outside and seeing how it's being handled or whatever? So that's why it's so important that we reflect Jesus and his love and the love that he has for each one of us, because we may be the only glimpse of Christ that someone may see.
Amen. And God is always looking at our heart to see what it's like, you know, what's going on. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite verses, and it says this: "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his."
Right.
2 Chronicles 16:9. God's looking to see our heart. That doesn't mean we're perfect, okay? Because there's times we're going to react out of our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to react out of reaction based on something that happened to us as a child, perhaps, or some other atrocity that's happened, and we'll react.
Well, you and I were just talking about this before the you know, before we started on the radio this afternoon, and we were talking about, you know, baggage that comes from like relationships or whatever. When you enter new relationships, how one person can have, you know, stuff that may have triggered an argument in one relationship.
Right.
So you're in this new relationship and you suddenly react or whatever.
Absolutely.
Because of stuff that's happened in the past.
Right.
And it's, you know,
expect the same reaction of your new
mate.
Right.
And that's out of your humanness. You know, that's out of your history and the stuff that you've dealt with. But when that happens, you have to recognize it for what it is as baggage. And you have to be willing to apologize and talk about it with another person. And that's why, you know, when you find yourself reacting out of your humanness and knowing that you're not reacting with the love that God wants you to react with, you cannot be, number one, afraid.
Right.
Or ashamed.
Right.
To go to that person that you have wronged and say, "Hey, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
You know, and explain. You don't have to give details, but you can just tell them, you know, "I reacted this way because of past baggage. I'm sorry."
Right. Yeah, you don't have to go into the baggage and discuss it. Nan, you want to comment on all that?
Well, you're saying, I think a lot of times people don't want to own up to their inappropriate behavior.
Right.
Like what you said about going and asking forgiveness, and, you know, you don't have to go into details about why, you know, it just was, you know. But I think that there are times that people just don't want to own up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And by not asking for forgiveness, that ties you up, that binds you.
Right.
That binds you. You know, there's been some times that I've had to go to people and say, you know, "Look, this happened and I didn't really mean it this way," or what, you know, because I'm really not a mean-spirited kind of person, you know. By nature, I'm not. I mean,
no,
not serving
you're not.
God, but just by nature, I'm not. And I like everybody to get along and love each other. And that's what it's all about, you know. But there's been times I've messed up, you know, and I'll go to them and I'll say, "Please forgive me," you know. I find freedom in me asking forgiveness, you know, and it just feels great to feel like you're clean of it, you know.
Exactly.
It's like you take a shower and you dry off and you're all clean, you know.
Yeah. And one thing we have to keep in mind, too, is that when you've wronged someone in public where other people have seen it, it's important to apologize in public.
Mm.
And if for whatever reason situations don't allow themselves, because of sensitive issues or whatever, to apologize in public or whatever, then, you know, try to go to those other people as well and let them know, I behave badly. And, you know, make those amends. And because we don't, as much as we don't want to harbor resentment, we don't want other people harboring resentment either.
Absolutely.
Because that doesn't do them any good.
Exactly.
You know, so it's important to be able to air these
Amen.
These issues, you know, and when you've behaved badly, you know, to own up to it and
right.
recognize it for what it is.
And really work on our heart. That mm-hmm. our heart, I mean, I think so often people don't realize that if your heart is full of unforgiveness, resentment, mm-hmm. bitterness, anger, hatred, and all that stuff, and you feel justified, rah, 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 because so-and-so did that, rah, rah, you know, and you're feeling like, I can hate because, you know, when you have that kind of attitude, God is not going to use you as a vessel of love.
Right.
It's not going to happen mm-hmm. because that stuff just ekes out of your pores. Ever been around somebody that takes garlic as a pill? Because I have. I've been around some people before that were heavy on the garlic, not just in their cooking, but I mean like really, really. I had a client like this once. And every time that I approached this person to talk to him, it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was eking out of his pores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like alcohol. For alcoholics, mm-hmm. will just come out of their pores.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my gosh. They may not be drinking right that minute. They may not be mm-hmm. full. They may not be eating garlic right that moment. But it just ekes out of them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with our bad attitudes. They just eke out of us like alcohol or garlic. And they just go, blah. And people smell them.
Right.
You know, they smell that. Blah.
And it makes you very difficult to be around.
Absolutely.
Right.
Totally. It does.
And then you wonder why nobody likes you.
Right.
And then you start blaming God, and you know, it just goes on and on. No. And it starts with you. It starts with your attitude, and it starts with you making amends, and it starts
right.
with you making the steps that are necessary to get closer to God and know what His will is for you.
And, you know, I agree. And the Holy Spirit within us shows us that junk in our lives.
Right.
And, Nan, you're talking about taking a shower. And I love Lever 2000 soap. And so I look forward to my shower all the time, or showers, however many per day. And it just depends on the weather and what I've been doing that day. But, you know, I love to just soap up with that Lever 2000, you know, like you just said. And I just feel clean, and I love the way it smells. The Christian's bar soap is 1 John 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the first verses that I ever learned as a kid, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, there's our responsibility.
Right.
He, now His responsibility, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
But if we've sinned against somebody, done something, we're supposed to kind of clear it up with them and then go to Him? What's the order of that?
You know, it depends on your situation.
Okay.
I think, generally speaking, when we recognize we've been wrong, God forgive me, oh my gosh, that was horrible. Now, I think a lot of times it's with God first.
Because we
get that recognition of what
right.
has happened, and God is, the Holy Spirit's convicting our heart, and we realize it. Don't table it, and don't put it back on the back burner, so to speak, but just say, God, I'm confessing this thing. That was a hateful attitude I had, and I am so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. And He will probably say, now you need to go make amends. You know
that reminds me of probably the most difficult time I've ever had to do that. And, you know, I had a really bad marriage, and there was abuse that went on with that marriage some, and the way we departed was interesting, a story within itself. But what happened one day is I was getting closer to the Lord, and we were going through always having to switch off our 2-year-old son back and forth for visitation. And one day the Lord said to me, ask Him for forgiveness for what you did wrong in the marriage. And I'm like, whoa, God, you got to be kidding. This is the man who I've been married to twice. This is the man who has been really mean to me and told me all the time. And you, wait, can't you see who was doing the wrong here? Ask Him to forgive you for what you did wrong in the marriage. So we struggled a while with that one. I struggled with God. He wasn't struggling at all. But you know what? I did it. One night, I went out to receive Bradley, and I said, Eddie, I'd like to ask you to forgive me.
Wow.
For the wrong that I did in our marriage.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you don't really mean that in your heart. And he drove off, you know? And the Lord spoke to me and said, he didn't receive that. But you obeyed me.
Right.
You did what I asked you to do.
Exactly.
And
And there's rewards for that.
Absolutely.
There's rewards for that. But it was like, you know, it was
amen.
It, pride, talk about pride. I had pride.
You know? You know what obedience like that does? It tenderizes our hearts. Obedience tenderizes our hearts. I've got this wonderful seasoning called Everglades seasoning I put on stuff as I cook on the grill. And if you think about that, a seasoning like that, or you think about a meat tenderizer you put, forgiveness, obedience, they tenderize our hearts, which is a wonderful segue into one of our favorite songs at Beacon of Hope that we sing live a lot of times by Casting Crowns, Listen to Our Hearts.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. Listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirit sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise that flows,
song of praise
from those you have redeemed.
Those you have redeemed,
and we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts.
I love that song.
Ditto.
I love that song. Listen to our hearts. Just singing along with it. We're glad our mics were turned off. Yeah. So, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a couple verses that really stand out to me. Now we're in the third chapter. And one of those is over here on 2 Timothy 3:12. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will never have any problems in life.
Wrong.
Nope,
see, this
wrong.
Is why what? It's important to read the Bible yourself.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Why? Why, Alice?
Because that is not what it says.
Oh, I was paraphrasing it, and I was wrong.
Wrong.
Uh-huh. So those, let's go back to it. Anyway, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. What a wonderful promise.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. I was just thinking, there was this great thought coming into my mind.
Well, and where did it go?
It kind of slipped away. That is a great promise, because that promise says, I will be with you. That promise says, I will strengthen you. That promise says, I am with you through all that you go through.
That's exactly
right. I see what is going on. I will equip you to do what you need to do, because you're persecuted for me. So there's a lot of promises that come along with that persecution, although we don't really want to think about being persecuted. But there are times that we are.
Well, Jesus says to us to rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted. Matthew 5:11-12, rejoice and be glad, jump for joy. In one translation, it says jump for joy when you're persecuted. Jump for joy!
One thing that I want to point out, and I didn't realize it this morning when you were teaching on the scripture, it doesn't say that everyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
It says everyone who wants to or desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. So to me, that makes it you don't have to be living that godly life to be persecuted. You just have to want to.
You know, you're right about that. The Message Bible says anyone who wants to live all out, that's the literal translation there.
Right.
'Cause the Message Bible is really good about going back to the original Greek and Hebrew and getting the exact meaning of the word. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it.
Well, I think that it's important that it's written that way. You know, I think it's important it's written that way.
Why?
Because,
Tell us why.
None of us can live a completely perfect godly life.
No.
You know, we're not perfect.
Right.
We are human. We have our humanness. We make mistakes.
Absolutely.
So it's not, you know, only for those people that are perfect and will be living a godly life will be persecuted. Oh no. If you want to, if you I'm looking at the ESV, it says all who desire. Okay, so if you have that desire in your heart to follow Jesus,
right,
and to walk that godly life, guess what? This pertains to you.
Right. And you will be persecuted.
You'll be persecuted.
And it's going to be okay. And in Matthew 5:11-12, I did point these scriptures out this morning, but I think they bear going back to. Matthew 5:11-12, Jesus said, and I love it when we quote what Jesus says. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:11-12, I'm in the wrong chapter, and that's why it's not making any sense to me. Go ahead.
It says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Ooh, absolutely. Let's read it in the Message Bible. Listen to this. Not only that, count yourselves blessed. And we know that word in the Greek means happy and to be envied. Count yourself blessed every time people put you down. Oh, every time somebody puts you down, I am blessed. And throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. That's funny. When we're persecuted, all heaven is applauding. Can you just hear?
It's I don't know if I like that.
Isn't that interesting?
That's like,
we're being persecuted and the angels are going, yay! And they're ringing bells and all that. All right. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds and know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! All right, Nan, what do you think about that? I know she wants to read it in her King James so bad. Go ahead. 11 and 12. Matthew 5:11-12.
Blessed are ye when... I made notes on this. I can't read the scripture. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
You know, you're right, Alice. It needs to be a woohoo moment. you know, or a Yahoo moment, you know. Graham Cook calls them Yahoo moments. You know, when all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is cool. There is something going on in heaven right now. Mm-hmm. There's rejoicing and they're applauding because I'm being persecuted. And, you know, at the time when the persecution's happening, we're not thinking like that.
Oh, no.
We're feeling sorry for ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
It's so easy to feel sorry for ourselves.
Isn't it?
It's much harder to rejoice in those difficult times.
Yes.
But that's what God wants us to do.
Rejoice. We know it.
And the thing is, what's really cool is that here in 2 Timothy, he's told us already it's going to happen. So
yeah. Guaranteed it. Promised it.
So why aren't we prepared when it happens?
That's a really good question. And I think a lot of times we get caught up so much in life that we're not looking with our focus. That's what the series is, the focus of faith. We're not looking with our eyes focused on our spiritual lives. We're just focusing on our day-to-day, mundane, go to work, get up, pet the dog, you know, feed the dog, you know, take care of the kids, all of that stuff that we all have to do. That's part of life. And I'm not saying don't do all that. We got to do that. But we don't concentrate on our spiritual growth so often. We concentrate on just getting through life, getting through the day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Nan? Do you have a comment on that? I guess not.
No, what I was actually thinking of, you know, probably the greatest time I grew in the Lord in going through a challenging situation was when I had the false battery charges pressed against me by my ex-husband's wife.
Right.
And that has such a beautiful ending. God was just with me throughout all that, and I learned and I grew.
It all
so
turned
much.
For your favor.
I got to do community service hours. So you know what I did? I said, Satan, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell everybody. I said this to Satan. I'm going to tell everybody I meet. The guy that I had to go down to meet with the lady once a month down at Salvation Army to pay them money and to let her look at her and see I was still around. Really exciting there. I said, I'm going to share Jesus with everybody I meet. And Pastor, every person that crossed my path, the volunteers at the
Somehow
Goodwill
I know
store,
she's telling the truth. Yeah.
You know, everywhere. And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it turned for good.
It turned for good. I mean, it's like what Satan, what was supposed to crumble me. And I don't want the listeners to think I've arrived. I have not. I'm just thinking if this was.
She's right. She has not.
I have not. But that is the one thing that sticks out in my mind in the way that my faith grew.
Praise God.
While I was being persecuted and all the little agitation stuff going on with phone calls and Texas all the continued stuff and still switching off our son and, you know, everything. But through that, I mean, through that persecution.
Right.
It had a beautiful ending. I mean, and I shared Jesus with one volunteer. We were volunteering at the Salvation Army, and I just shared Jesus with her. And
praise
she says,
God.
You know, she goes, I needed to hear that today.
Wow.
And it was like, how cool is that? What Satan, as the word says, what Satan intended for good, for harm, God turns into good. And I think we can live our lives in such a way, if we stay tuned, you were talking about how we focus more on the physical things. We have the life issues that we have to deal with, the life issues, the things we have to do just to sustain life. We have to eat. We have to go shopping. We have to get gas in our cars, all that kind of stuff. But if we can realize to focus more on the spiritual stuff, God will do those same kind of things in everybody's life.
Well, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, you never know who's watching that situation.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, when we're, as Christians, if we're persecuted for our beliefs, if we're persecuted because of our love for God, then people are watching to see how we handle those situations.
Oh, they so are.
And that's why it's so important that we remember, even in those really difficult situations where we're being persecuted because of our faith, because we love God, that we react in love and kindness.
Amen.
You know, that, and with self-control.
That reminds me, well, like my ex-husband would say, some Christian you are, you know? And if you don't watch it, you'll start buying into that. Well, he's right. It was like, I don't have to prove anything to him.
Right.
I stand before God and God alone.
Right.
You know, and I didn't have to justify my Christianity, which it was there, but it was like this pride thing would start to, well, I am a Christian. I can show, well, he, you know, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Walk away from that. It does not matter.
I was in a similar situation where I was told, well, I thought you were a Christian.
Yeah,
you know, and Satan will use people to accuse us. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I have learned that through the years that Satan loves to accuse you.
That's right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, of not being who you say you are.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And in situations like that, you know, you have to be secure in your faith.
That's right.
You and
do.
you know where your
Preach
heart
it, sister.
Is. You
right
know on. Where your mm-hmm. heart is, and you focus on that, and you know, don't let Satan get under your skin about that kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
Exactly.
You know, when my daughter went to prison in May of 2010, that particular day, which just broke my heart, you know, with the drug abuse and everything that she'd gone through, and then the judge just said, "This is going to be the best for you, Lori." And the judge had seen her several times, and I recount this story in my book, which, by the way, you can go to our website and order it, and you can get it. If you know anybody that has this situation, a daughter, a relative that's going through drug addiction and the consequences of it, and Lori had been doing drugs for about 20 years, and the book is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. And, you know, the judge that day said to her, "This is for your good. You don't think so now, but I'm protecting you from possible death. I'm preventing you. I am putting you in a position where you can't kill yourself with these drugs for a period of time." And he sentenced her to 5 years. And I mean, at the time, I just thought, oh my gosh, how can this ever be good to go to prison? But it was, because she got into a minimum security prison and she began to minister to people. I began to write this book to her and send the chapters. She didn't know it was a book. And God began to minister. And then now we've planted hundreds of these books in that prison, and we hope to plant them in other prisons. But just the good that came out of that very bad situation reminds me of Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to, who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Right.
So even though this seemed like the end of the world for our family, you know, for Lori, mm-hmm. and what is going to happen to her, and all of that what ifs and fear that tried to come upon us, it was the beginning of the rest of her life. Mm. And Lori is now, and has been almost a year now, out of prison, only served 20 months out of a 5-year sentence, and has gone through the rehab and is now helping other people and living clean and sober. And I praise God for that. She's my example right there. Yeah. And she's ministered to so many people, her life experience, what the devil meant to just cause even more harm and chaos in her life, God turned around, and that judge did the merciful thing by allowing her to go into that jail situation. And some of you out there may have relatives going through, so I don't know why I just told that story, but it was on my heart right then, that the judge really knew this was the best for her, you know? So sometimes the things we go through, we may not understand at the time that they are the best thing for us.
Well, I was just thinking that you know, God is you know, the final judge.
Yes.
And there's many times that we are put into situations where we don't know why we're in the situation. We don't know why we're going through whatever we're going through. But God does.
Yes.
And it all works together for our good.
It does.
You know, whatever the situation is, it may be difficult, but it's an opportunity for growth, perhaps.
It's an opportunity.
You know, it's
for
an
growth.
Opportunity
yes.
for, you know, when we work through this situation, it's an opportunity for us to minister.
Yes.
Further on down the line, you know, like I was talking earlier about, you know, difficult childhood growing up and all that
right.
stuff. That has, having that background and being, having gone through that, has helped me minister to other people.
Oh, amen.
You know, so there, I didn't like it when I was growing up, of course. I didn't like it when I was in the situation. I didn't understand why me,
right.
why I was having to go through this situation. But I understand it better now.
Amen.
That, you know, there's the distance of years, and I've been able to use those experiences to minister to people that God has put in my path.
Mm. And we know that God causes all things
yes.
to work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. In all that we've been talking about today, and you guys, this has been a great show. You know, it really has been good. We never know what's going to happen, how they're going to turn out, whether Cedric, our engineer in there, is going to be sweet and pleasant and kind and lovely. And he always is.
He always
he
is.
He always is. He's just a sweetheart. He's so cute, too.
He is cute. Look
yeah.
at him. He's turning red now.
I know he is. You know? But in all of these shows, and we just let the Holy Spirit lead, we just trust that there are people out there that hear them either live or later on, and that they learn something of God and His nature, right, and His love for us. And because of that, we learn to worship Him, because He wants us to worship Him. He right. wants us to reach out in love and adoration to Him. And we got to do this Terry McCallum song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I came to worship Him, and then we'll wrap up in a few minutes. But just listen to this. It's a fantastic song. Allow yourself to enter into worship as we play this song.
Came to worship You. I came to sing Your praise. I came to love You, Lord. Your holy name to raise.
Within me, I worship You and praise You. Oh, I love You, Lord. Hallelujah. There are some of you out there right now that are in deep pain. You're suffering. You've got all kinds of circumstances. Cedric, let's start that over and just play it real low. Let me talk over it, will you? And dear ones, God Almighty is right here on the scene in your situation. It may not feel like it, and you may not know what to do about what you're facing. God knows what to do. He wants you to entrust that situation. He wants you to give it to Him, the pain of it, the hurt of that situation, the misunderstandings that are going on around it. I don't even know who I'm talking to, but God knows. And give that mess to God and say, God, I choose to entrust this to you. And I know that you'll guard what I've given to you until that day. And Lord, we ask you right now to reach down into the hearts of these that are listening. To God, listen to their hearts, Lord. Look at their hearts. And Lord, let them be so aware of your anointed, mighty presence in their lives. Let them be aware that you just want them to turn to you and worship you and praise you from the bottom of their hearts and to give their concerns, their cares, their problems, even their aches and their pains emotionally and physically to you. So right now, dear one, give it to God and begin to worship Him. Let it go. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive them right now. Let it go. They don't owe you anymore. Just turn them loose of that debt and rest in the arms of Jesus and know that God loves you so very much and begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him because He loves you so much and has a plan for your life. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, just ask Him right now to come into your heart. Just ask Him right now to come into your heart. Ask Him to come and live in you. Ask Him to forgive you for all you've ever said or done that was not pleasing to Him. And declare that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that God raised Jesus from the dead. Invite Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior right now. Accept Him by faith, and He moves into your heart right now and begins the changing process in you. Begin to worship Him right now with that song. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah, turn it back up a little bit. Praise God. Let's begin to worship Him. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we're created. Why we worship Him. Oh, praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I just caught up in worshiping Him. That's what we do at Beacon of Hope, don't we, Alice?
It's pretty awesome.
Isn't it awesome? It takes you out of that realm of your everyday issues and problems and the stresses of work and family and relationships, and it puts you into a different mindset. I said this morning at Beacon of Hope, in order to change your mindset, you got to replace it with a new one. You got to let go of the negativity and the stuff that pulls you down and weighs you down. And you got to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith.
To me, being in worship and worshiping God and being in a worship service like that, is it's sort of like, you know, when you're listening to the radio, when you're going through your everyday life, it's sort of like you're listening to the radio, but you can't quite tune the station in correctly.
Yeah, right.
Got all the static in the background and got all this other stuff going on, right? But when you enter in that place where you're worshiping God and you're truly worshiping and you're focusing on Him, all that static just falls away. It's like you're able to tune that radio station in just perfectly, crystal clear, like a clear channel to God.
Amen.
You know, and you're able to get into that place where it's just you and Him.
Exactly.
It's just you and Him. And that is such an awesome place to be.
Ah, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
You know, when you come in the doors at Beacon and start the praise and worship, you know, it doesn't matter really what has been going on or what you're dealing with. That is, like Alice said, that's just such a special time. You're getting alone with the Lord, even there in a collective body, you're getting alone with the Lord, you know, which is why church attendance there or somewhere is so important. But it's just all of a sudden things just seem to clear up, just like Alice was saying, kind of fall away when you just get so in tune with just praising Him, worshiping Him collectively there with your brothers and sisters in the Lord.
You just focus, focus, and your faith rises as you begin to hear the Word. That's what we've been talking about today, the focus of faith. Mm-hmm. You got to focus. You got to center in on your God time. Your God time is very important. You're one-on-one every day with Him, listening to Him, talking to Him, allowing Him to talk to us, you know? I mean, it's just so vitally important. I think this has been a tremendous broadcast today. It's a tremendous show. And it's so cool that we can, within a few minutes, Cedric will email me this show and I get it to our webmaster up in Georgia. And like tomorrow it's on, and it's on forever. It stays forever. We've got tons of these shows on our website now because we have a great big website. So feel free to go there and listen, because it's there for you to learn. It's a teaching tool.
It is a teaching tool. And I know that I personally have gone back to the old shows, some of them that I had missed or whatever. And sometimes I just randomly pick one and will listen to it. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes God will wake me up in the middle of the night for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe it's to listen to a radio show. And I can't get back to sleep. Like, man, I can't get back to sleep. I know I've got to get up, you know, and go to work and all this. And so sometimes I'll pick up my Bible and I'll read. And sometimes I will, you know, turn on my computer and go to the website and put some headphones on so I don't disturb anybody else and just listen to a radio show, you know. And I'm really pleased that they're there because they really bless me.
Amen. You know, it's a wonderful ministry.
It's especially like, you know, when it's a show that I haven't been on personally, and I can go back and just, I don't know. It's like God fills you up.
It does.
You know, it's
so, like, make use of it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. So we want you to go there. Don't forget to use our prayer line, prayers@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Send in your requests. You will get a response, and we will put our prayer team on it. If you want to be a part of that, be one of the prayers, then send an email to Alice at prayers@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com.
And also, you know, if this radio show has touched you.
Yes, that'd be great.
You know, if you have gained something from the radio show, you let us know about it.
Right.
Because it's great for us to get the feedback, and we can praise God, you know, that people's lives are being touched.
Amen. You can be a financial partner by going to our website and go to PayPal and give a gift for the radio ministry. That's what it'll go for. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Alice, and Nan from our radio team, bringing words of life to you this day, even though we're having a tropical storm. And we are so glad to be here today. God bless you. Have a great week. You can talk to me personally at the email pastor@BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week live at 4 o'clock on this wonderful Tan Talk station. God bless you. See ya.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.